while since I've shared my full testimony, but, you know, I have to warn you in advance because, you know, when I share the testimony of what Jesus has done in my life, you know, the Lord takes me there, and the emotions come out. So some of these testimonies may take a little bit to get through, because the power of God, you know, and the presence of God is here in this place. I mean, just sense His presence here in this place, and He's going to begin speaking. So I'm very blessed to have my two sons here. You know, I love them with my life, and I'm so proud of them. And I just pray that I can be the man and the father and the dad that, you know, God has called me to be to my sons. And I'm so very proud of them. I didn't have to drag them here either, so they came willingly to listen to their dad. They've heard some of these stories before. I want to start out with a scripture. And the Lord gave me this scripture when I was preparing for this. Revelation 19:10 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so what I'm sharing tonight is the testimony of Jesus through my life. He's going to share a word of encouragement, edification, exhortation, and comfort to you guys tonight. And when you have that testimony on the inside of you, what God has taken you from to where you are today, man, that's a word that can minister to many people. And so, I'm going to start out. I'm not going to dwell on the early years, but, you know, I was born in the height of the Vietnam War. And my dad was a high-ranking officer in the South Vietnamese Army, and he's a battalion commander, fought in a lot of the major wars in the Vietnam War. And some of you who were in Vietnam probably remember the Battle of Khe Sanh, right? And so it was one of the longest and bloodiest battles in Vietnam. And he saw many people, many of his men die. And so at that time, it was in the early 70s when I was born, and at that time, my youngest brother was being born. And so he had the opportunity to leave and go back to the hospital and be with my mom for the birth of my youngest brother. And so he came back, and then as he was coming, as the delivery occurred, and then he had to go back to this battalion. And so he found out that a lot of the bridges and roads were blown up, so there was no way he was going to get back. And at that time, he already knew that the communists was about to take over. And so he had to make a decision. Can you imagine at 34 years old to make a decision? What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your family? Because the consequences of getting caught, getting captured, being a high-ranking officer that he is imminent death, tortured in prison. And the consequence of his immediate family is probably very similar. So he made a decision to flee and evacuate. So he had a few men with him that were armed men, and so they got on jeeps. And we got our family in there. I got three brothers, one newborn, and then my aunt and my grandmother came along with us. So it was a treacherous journey down south, down the coast of South Vietnam, trying to get away, trying to flee, trying to go to a U.S. military ship to evacuate as refugees. And so he would. One testimony is where he would encounter a boat going south, and four people want to get our family on the boat, and they say, "Well, four." And he said, "If you don't let my family on, I'm going to have my men kill every one of you." And obviously, they let us on, right? That's kind of the treacherous journey that my dad had to go through to make those kind of decisions. So, long story short, we got on a U.S. military ship. And at the time, they separated the fathers and the older children, that's me and my brother, and the moms and the two younger children and the women, separately. Two islands, Guam and Wake Island. And we were separated for 6 months and didn't know what is going on with each other. Didn't know if we made the journey alive. Many people died on the journey. And didn't know, you know, had no communication, no way to connect. But by the grace of God, you know, sometimes when you don't even know God, He has a destiny for you. Mm-hmm. You know, He knew us before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
He knew us before we were in our mother's womb. And so I knew that God had a hand on our family somehow. You know, so we reconnected in California. And at that time, there was many churches across the nation, and they had a sponsorship program, and families would sponsor different refugee families. And we were sponsored by two families from a First Baptist Church in Athens, Texas, in East Texas. That's how we got to Texas, you know, by two families in East Texas. And the two families, we've honored this our whole life. One couple has passed away, recently passed away, and the other couple, pray for Mr. Bush. He's not doing well right now, the other family. So, but they took us in and helped my mom and dad find jobs, you know, minimum wage jobs at the time. We had nothing with us but just the clothes on us and maybe a few items in a suitcase, and that's it. We don't know the language, don't know the people, a new place, you know, kind of like Abraham, right? You know, hey, you go, you know, where I show you to go, you know, hey, you pick up and just, and it's just, we didn't understand the language much, so we had to learn the language. And so, but God, you know, got us into church, First Baptist Church, and that's where we all came to know the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we began honoring Him with our lives. And so my mom's prayer was that, you know, God, I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know the way you're going to do it. But I need to get my kids through college, my four boys through college. Somehow, some way, please get our boys through college. They worked hard, and, you know, by the grace of God, you know, God allowed us, you know, to go through college. And I can't even fathom how they got our four boys on a minimum wage jobs through college. That's the grace of God, you know. And it's, you know, so, but a lot of times when we go back home now, my boys and Abigail, you know, I'll take a detour, you know, and so they know where I'm going because, you know, we're gonna go back to the house where dad, your dad and your brother, your uncles and your grandmother and your grandfather, you know, grew up, this run-down shack. And just to let people, let them know that you don't forget where you come from, how God has taken us from there to that low, lowly place to where we are today. So we don't take those things for granted. And, you know, and they know when I make that turn, we're going back to the old house. just a reminder. So my college years, I went to Texas A&M University in College Station and got my degree in engineering, and during that season, you know, I joined the Baptist Student Union. So did a lot of missions trips. Went a lot of missions trips to Mexico during the when you got off for the Christmas break, and then we went to South Padre Island during spring break. Witnessing, that was wild, you know. But that was awesome. I mean, we saw a lot of people saved, you know. And then I was actually a summer missionary. One summer, I was some missionary, and I just believe in God that He would send me somewhere like Australia or overseas. But, you know, of all places, He sends me to Pearland, Texas, a Baptist church in Pearland, Texas. I spent the summer there and helping the youth and going out witnessing and just ministering to the surrounding area. And so during that season, the Lord just been working. And one testimony from that season was that, you know, before we had signed up for spring break, you know, there was an entry fee, $67, I think I remember that. So at the time, I didn't have any money. I just had enough money for eating. I said, God, if you want me to go on this mission trip, and I want to go on this outreach in South Padre Island, then you make the way. And I don't have any money. And so come down to the last week, you know, God, I want to go. My heart wants to go. I know you want me to go. You're going to have to provide the money. And that Wednesday, my dad called, and he said, hey, son, I got a check that came in the mail for you. Oh. It was a refund check that I had worked the summer, and it came in for $80-something dollars. Paid for the trip and then maybe a few dollars here for some extra food. But that was one of my favorite trips, to minister to those young kids, I was the same age, but, you know, we were just witnessing as they're going from one side of the island to the next on vans. We just, you know, have an opportunity just to share the gospel. Many got saved, man. You know, they didn't know they were going down there to get saved, you know, but God did. So after college, my job brought me to Houston, Texas, and I started going to the church that I was actually a summer missionary at in Pearland. And, you know, and that beginning there, I began to dry up spiritually. And I was going to church, and I was like, God, this, I don't know what's going on. I'm not growing. I'm drying up. That's one way of God telling you, hey, you need to start looking. Mm-hmm. So I would go out to different large churches with large singles ministries, you know, because I was looking for a spouse, right? Also, you know? So I would go to these different churches, and you know, I just didn't feel the peace, the connection. I just didn't, you know, and some Sundays I was so discouraged that I would just lay in bed, just stay home from church. And that's not me. I grew up in church. Mm-hmm. But I dried up so deep down that I just, God, I tried. You're going to have to find the church. But at the same time, I was looking for a house. So in Friendswood, Texas, I go and meet my realtor. And somehow we got to talking about God. And so, you know, we started talking. I said, Gene Mazzara was her name. I said, I've dried up. You know, I'm looking for a church. I don't know if you know, where a church that we even forgot about talking about the house. I was there to get ministered to, right? And she said, you know what? As a matter of fact, my brother has a church down the road in Pearland. Mm-hmm. You know, won't you just go and visit, you know, and just see what you think. And so a couple weeks later, I go and visit this church. So I'm going into the church, like a crowd like here. I look out, it's like 50 to 60 people. No people my age that are single. No potential here. So I'm like, this is not for me, God. Okay, I'll sit through the service and everything, you know, and see, you know, and then leave, right? But something happened during that service. The Spirit of God arrested my heart in that service. I don't know. And I couldn't stop weeping. I was like, God, I'm just trying to wipe my eyes. I'm getting embarrassed because why am I weeping? You know, this is a regular service that I'm in church. And so, you know, and after I left, you know, the pastors there, some of you may know them, Pastor Louie and Rita Sell, and they're our spiritual parents. So after I left, I still couldn't keep weeping all day long. I said, God, what's going on? I said, if you stay faithful to this church here, and you serve the church, you should serve the man of God, then I'll bring your wife to you. As clearly as I was telling you, that's what he told me. I said, okay. So I would spend time, and I sat for a season, a few months, and then I started serving. I started serving, and I would get with Pastor Louie, and every, you know, Sunday mornings, we would get there at 4:30, 5 a.m. in the morning, and just pray, and then he would show me, you know, hey, these chairs need to be lined this way, tissue boxes need to be here, and, you know, hey, my drink here, and then show me the sound booth, how to run the sound booth and make tapes. You know, he was showing me the spirit of excellence. He was sharing me about the spirit of excellence. Twan, this is the house of God, and you need to honor God, you know, by making sure everything is lined up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, during that time, he would just, you know, when we were together, just preach me a sermon, you know, we'd talk about it, and then we'd pray together, and just, he mentored me, you know, he showed me what a man of God is like. You know, we went to a lot of conferences, saw the power of God in these conferences, and then that's, in a life group is where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And from that on, man, it was on fire after that. Praise you know, man, God just began working, man, answering prayers and, you know, things that began happening. And then I felt the call to go to Bible school. So I started going to Bible school in Lamarck, Abundant Life Christian Center. 2 years in night school. Two days a week, 3 hours a night. And so, yeah, it was wild, I'm telling you. Some of those teachers, man, we'd have some Holy Ghost meeting. It wouldn't a class, you know, they would just stop and prophesy and, you know, words of wisdom and knowledge, and it's like, oh man, what's going on, man? It's a wild party here, man. So, but one night, Sister Doris Lane, Ben, you may remember her, Doris Lane, yes. Prophetic gift. And she stopped in the middle of her teaching, and the prophetic gift came upon her. And she began calling people up and just prophesying over their lives. And then she called me up and said, young man, come here. And she began prophesying two major words for me that was not evident anywhere close in my life. And since then, one of them had been fulfilled. The other one, I'm living in it right now.
Praise God.
And then there's another word that I'm going to read verbatim, and I didn't understand it. It's kind of, you know, baffled me why she gave me that word. And she said, the Lord says that he's going to use you mightily, and that if you'll continue to allow him to equip you, then the day is going to come that the enemy is going to try to tempt you to get out of Bible school. And the Lord says to you, tell you tonight to remember this conversation and remember this prayer, but don't quit. Don't quit. I said, I've laid my hands on you, and I gave you that same don't quit spirit that I have, and you're not to quit. You're going to walk this path. You're going to complete this goal. You're going to go this way. For the next step of the promotion, don't quit. Don't quit. You know why it baffled me so much? Because I wasn't a quitter at the time. Man, I was ready to, I was on fire, and I was ready to finish Bible school, you know, 2 years. So coming close to Bible, to graduation time, we were completing all our classes. There was an announcement made. They said, we've changed the curriculum due to some kind of accreditation situation, and some of you guys are going to have to take an additional class to complete. So in other words, you're going to have to go 3 years to complete this class to graduate. Oh, I was fuming. I was hot on the inside. I said, what kind of integrity is this? I signed up for a 2-year program, and you're telling me at the end of my 2 years that I have to go through this extra class, a 3-year program? I said, So I set up a meeting with the administrator, Dr. Ward. And I said, Dr. Ward, I said, you know, I heard that y'all changed the curriculum and some of us are going to have to take an additional class. And I remember a couple that sat beside me, you know, they drove from Orange, Texas, 2 nights a week to Lamar, Texas, to take classes. I thought about them. Come on, Lamar, you know, I'm thinking about me, but I thought about them. They never returned. And I said, this is not fair. This is not right. And he said, Tuan, there's nothing I can do. Well, I said, and I said this to him. I said, I don't know if I'm coming back. And I got up and stormed out the door because I was hot. And I felt that spirit of quit right then come upon me. And I remember this prophecy. And on the way home, I said, God, this is not right. And he said, what I started in you, I will complete. What he meant was, I want you to go on this third. I want you to take that class and finish. I don't know any purpose why. And you know, those first 2 years were amazing years in Bible school. Man, the power of God was moving. But you know what, that third year, it was dry. I struggled through that third year, that third class, that last class. And I didn't understand why. And so we're getting ready to graduate, you know, after I finished that last class for the third year. And the Lord gave me a scripture to meditate on. It was 1 Timothy 1:12. It says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord that he enabled me. They count me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Amen. And I said, man. And I started meditating that scripture. I don't know why. You know, God just put that on my heart. Maybe he knew something I didn't know. And so, come graduation time, we walk across the stage, get our diplomas, you know. Again, I'm graduating with people I really don't know because it's those people a year ago that I graduated with, you know. But I'm kind of discouraged, you know. You know, it ought to be a joyous time, but sometimes you get discouraged during the season. And so, we were celebrating with our family members that had come and our friends and with the staff and as I was talking to some friends, there was a tap on my shoulder and there was an old man behind me and he said, son, when you walked across the stage, the Lord wanted me to pray for you. And I never met him before. I found out he was in his 80s and he began praying over me. Began prophesying over my life. It's very similar words to what Sister Doris had prophesied over my life. And he gave me this book. It's one of my most prized possessions. It says, How I Led One, and One Led a Million. It was Reverend Sam Martin. I don't know if you guys know who he is. He's the man that led John Osteen to the Lord. Wow. And God brought him that night speak encouragement and to prophesy over a discouraged young man. We don't know what his next step was. And you know, I never saw him again. He died about 3 years later after he was I don't even know why he was there. Maybe God sent him there for me. And he signed my book. Besides, he had a scripture in there. Guess what the scripture was? 1 Timothy 1:12. And thank God I took a picture. You know, I had my 2-year-old daughter with me.
Very cool.
And what God taught me into that season is that there's a season of testing of your faith. When you're in a school classroom, when you're taking a test, what is the teacher doing? The teacher is very quiet. Not saying that, because the teacher already taught you what you need to learn to pass that test. And what do? When the teacher is quiet, you do what you've been taught to do. And that was a season of testing of my faith. Let's say I quit and didn't go that third year, I would have failed the test. It was a test of my faith. And God said, when you pass that test, He'll reveal Himself to you. And He'll reveal your next assignment that next season. Because He was quiet, like I said, I struggled through that third year. But He spoke after I passed the test. And that's when God led us to Lakewood Church. And for 17 years, you know, that was the ministry. And we were involved in the prayer partner ministry, the prayer ministry, and then the life group ministry. For 17 years, we served the church. And for 7 of those years, Michelle and I were leading the life group ministry for the whole church as volunteers. That was the ministry that God had for us during that season. And we'd have our life group and have our leadership meeting. It's just some amazing things began to happen in our life group. Just signs, miracles, healings. And, you know, I remember one situation where a couple had a sister, and they said, they think that she has cancer in the female organs, and they have to go in and do the surgery. Well, you know what? We're just going to believe this. Then when they cut her apart, they find nothing.
Yeah.
And so they went, had the surgery. After work, I went up to the hospital, and I talked to Edwin and Darlene. I said, so what happened? I said, they cut her up, and they had to sew her back because they found nothing.
Praise the Lord.
You know, and just God teaching us about living a life of faith and just trusting Him, you know, because there's no other option. And then during that season, you know, one significant testimony was that, you know, we were staying in this hotel, particular hotel, for like 3 or 4 years, called Worthington Hotel. It's about 6 blocks away from the Coliseum. And then we were staying on this level where, you know, they would feed the breakfast. And there was a particular lady that we would see every year, a Hispanic lady that set up the food and the breakfast. You know, I would always, you know, every day try to find her. She didn't speak much English at all. And just, I just blessed her, you know, just tipped her. You know, and so that went on for a few years, you know. And so the very last year that we were at that hotel, and I saw her on that Friday, I said, hey, this is our last day, and we're going to be gone, you know, back home, and hey, I just gave her a big tip. And she stopped. She'd never done this. She looked at me, and she said, God is going to bless you with this amount of money. Huge amount of money out of my thinking. And I stepped back. I knew it was God. I knew it was God. So sometimes you don't know who God's going to speak through. But you got to be sensitive to what He's doing. And I just received that as my word. I said, I received that word. From a Hispanic waitress that was setting up the food, He used that lady. And then so for the next year, I saw all this money come in. In addition to just my salary, supernaturally. And over what she had prophesied to me.
Praise God.
And you know, we all go through different seasons, and we can look back and just see how God moves in the season. Yeah. And it's not all a good season in our eyes. And there's a struggle. You know, but God is always faithful. And you know, and so this last convention, we went to the Believers' Convention during a pandemic when everybody told you not to go nowhere, right? No, we're going because it's a faith convention. Why would you not go, you know, as a faith person, right? And so we're sitting there, and guess who taps Michelle on the shoulder? Pastor Terry. We met them years ago, and I don't remember much, didn't know him very well, but God somehow connected us during that convention, I believe.
Good.
You know, it was like we had lunch together and just reconnected because we know Pastor Louis, you know, Pastor Scott worked for Pastor Louis, music director for a while, and it's like, man, it was some good times, and we just saw their heart. Their heart of love, and you know, we just can sense that the love of God on their lives, and so we went back, and then you know, we just want to be for sure, you know, I don't ever want to get ahead of God, and so again, we weren't going to Lakewood because you were required to wear a mask, and you know, I can sit at home and watch, you know, the service without that. So we just were praying, and we started visiting some more churches, you know. And you know, when there's no peace, you know. And then when Audrey Mack came, when we went to Audrey Mack, that's when we knew that this is our place called there. You know, and how different seasons of our lives, you know, just wait on God. You know, just to wait on the Lord, and he'll direct you. One of my favorite verses, and it's Proverbs 3:6. It said, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. It's a very simple promise from God. Acknowledge him. What does that mean? Become aware of his presence wherever you're at. Acknowledging him. You know, when you're aware of the presence of God, man, he just begins moving. He begins moving in the hearts of people. You know, he can begin using, you know, and that still small voice, you can hear God. Because when the presence of God is there, you can hear his voice. That is his voice. It's his presence. Because he is the word. He's always speaking. You know, if you have peace in your heart, he is speaking to you. That's saying, hey, I got you where I need you. You don't have to say a word. I got you where I need you to be. And that's how we walk the walk of faith, is through peace that God gives us. You know, some of Bill Johnson says that the storm that you can sleep through is the storm that you conquer. That's peace. You know, Jesus slept through that storm because he can conquer that storm that's coming, right? He knew he had to conquer, but the disciples didn't. But he did. And you know, and as I was praying for you guys, what a incredible presence here, because for God to see men of God who have surrendered their lives to him and are opening their hearts to receive him, man, that's the most powerful thing in the church. And I just sense that there's so much gifts and talents in this room and in the men of the church. And God is wanting to stir up those gifts. You know, Pastor Scott just finished a study on the gifts of the Spirit. And he spoke to me and he said, man, when mighty men of God are operating in the gifts of God in the church, will begin exploding. Mm-hmm. And the power of God will come down to whoever walks into that service. Mm-hmm. You know, why? Why do we need the gifts of the Spirit through the men of God? There's a young man that's going to be coming, a single young man coming into the church who's discouraged, who's been hurt, who doesn't is looking for an answer, looking for hope. But a lead comes up and shakes his hand, and the Spirit of God arrests Lee's heart, and the gifts begin flowing through Lee. And he said, can I pray for you, son? And then as he's praying for that young man, the gift of prophecy comes upon Lee, and gift the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and then don't even know anything about the young man, but that one word turned that young man's life around. Mm-hmm. because maybe he was thinking about suicide now. Mm-hmm. That spirit of suicide is on this younger generation now. Mm-hmm. The discouragement, the lack of hope, what's going on in our culture and society is coming on our society and our children. But when they walk into believer's fellowship, the power of God's going to hit them. The power of God's going to work through. God works through men. God works through people. Mm-hmm. And I just sense that there may be some gifts tonight that have been dormant. And I don't know who it is, but somebody is saying, I don't know if I have anything to give. I don't know in my later life, in my later days in life, if I have anything to give. But God is just saying today, tonight, that your latter days are greater than your former days. And he is stirring up the gifts in the men of God in this church. He's raising up mighty men of God who will honor them, who will surrender their lives to God, who are aware of the presence of God in their lives, that every morning they get up, God, reveal yourself to me. Rest upon me today. That's all it is. That's a simple, God is so simple. We try to make it too complicated, but you've acknowledged God. And as you go into the service, God's going to give you a word for somebody. He's going to give you a prophetic word for somebody that would change and it could save their life. And I saw that very clearly. When the men of God start rising up and operating in the gifts of God and flowing in the gifts of God, man, the people, you know how people are coming because of the word of mouth now? You know, if you notice that. It's not like you're leading a lot of people into the church, right? But it's the word of, hey, that church believes in the supernatural. Mm-hmm. And I sense there's an increase. I've been seeing it for the last few weeks. There's an increase in the gifts of God. Mm-hmm. There's an increase, you know, in a promotion that God's about to bring to the church. And but he's going to use the men of God to rise up, because that young couple needs us. The young couple that's coming in trying to raise a family. And there's men here that have the wisdom of God and the discernment of God and the knowledge of God, that you know what to do. You know you have it on the inside of you. And God may be calling you to stand beside that young couple and love on them. Pour the love of God and encourage them and give them hope. God is calling some of you men to rise up to do that. And I just believe he's stirring up in this time right now. It's a very critical time. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's a very critical time right now that we rise up. And you know, the scripture says in 2 Timothy, you stir up the gift of God through the laying on of hands. Mm-hmm. And you know what the next scripture says? But God did not give us a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. And that spirit of fear has come upon some men in churches. Mm-hmm. And God is saying, he didn't give you a spirit of fear. Right. But he's given you a spirit of love for the people, of power through his gifts, and of a sound mind. You have that wisdom that can impart. So God is speaking to your hearts tonight. And as a sense that Pastor Scott needs to impart that and stir up that the gift that you may feel like, man, I don't know if I have it anymore. I don't know. You know what? That is exactly where you need to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can do it. Because you know what? You can't do it. Only God can do it. Mm-hmm. But all he's asking tonight is availability. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be qualified. You've already been qualified by God. The Holy Spirit's qualified you. And it's not by your qualifications. It's by your availability to God. Yes. And God is going to use mightily. I sense that the gifts are going to flow more frequently and more significantly as the men starts flowing in the gifts. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can see that very clearly. And so, Pastor Scott, if you will, I want to take the time just for you to impart. Mm-hmm. I sense it because after what the teaching that you just finished, I said, now is the impartation. Mm-hmm. Okay. To store up the gifts of God mm-hmm. and the men of God. Mm-hmm. And so we just want to take some time there
sure.
for you to just lay your hands on them and just stir up the gifts.
Absolutely. God. Absolutely. I'm going to have you join me.
Yes, I am.
Because after a testimony like this, you know, this man knows what it's like to go from total discouragement, ready to quit, doesn't have an answer, doesn't have a clue where he's going next, and all of a sudden one man steps into his life, Sam Martin. Never heard of the guy. what an amazing story. And God leads a man in. And so this may be your night. So we're just going to open up the altar here. I asked Tuan to stand in with me because I know God's used him in the gifts of the Spirit in the past. And so what I just want to make available to you, we'll put a little music on. And just as we close out tonight, if you'd like prayer, just maybe you're fighting discouragement. Maybe you would like God to just stir up the gift in you through our prayers, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's something that is imparted through the laying on of hands. I was in Tel Aviv years ago with the Israel group we were in. And the last night we were there, there was about 30 teenagers to college age young people there. And it was an amazing, powerful thing. They asked Terry and I to do the worship. We led worship. And then the Spirit of God just fell. And we wound up prophesying over everybody that came up for prayer. I've never done that in my life. It just began to flow. So I believe there's a flow here tonight. I believe it's a joint thing, and Brother Tuan's going to join me in it, and we're going to pray over those of you that want it. If you don't want it, there's no pressure, but we did want to bless each one of you that came and just pray over you, a blessing over your family, over your life personally.